Can everyone hear me okay? Good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting that has been called at the request of group leaders. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the councillors' code of conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, the member should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. So, item one, apologies. Item two, declaration of interest. Councillor Taylor, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Thanks.
Borgia, I welcome you all here tonight to a special council meeting to discuss an emergency notice of motion regarding the recent flooding that has devastated parts of Muir Mhorn and Down District. I myself have witnessed firsthand the devastation and impact this had across Muir Mhorn and Down. During the week, I watched as my own town of Muir bore the brunt of the initial flooding. I was there during the clean-up with local businesses and understand the impact it has caused to them. On Sunday, I visited Downpatrick. I spoke with many business owners whose premises have been decimated in the heart of the county town. I was in Clurybridge today with retailers who have been gutted by the impact of the floods. My party colleagues in the Mourns, Gratleave and South Armagh have relayed to me the catastrophic impact with residents' homes ruined and road infrastructure collapsing. I welcome tonight that all parties are coming together in solidarity for the residents of this district. Group leaders in Sinn Féin, SDLP, Alliance and DUP have signed the agreement to proceed with the emergency meeting, and it has been agreed at group leaders that group leaders will be to the fore. I will now hand over to Councillor Hanlon to read the motion and speak to this.
Thanks very much, Chair. So I'm just going to read the motion out. This council acknowledges the devastation that recent floods have inflicted on our district's residents and business communities. Council commends the efforts of council and departmental workers, community responders, emergency services and others who assisted the local communities where unprecedented flooding took place. Council agrees that a robust and comprehensive review of its response throughout these incidents should commence immediately. Council further agrees to write to other relevant statutory agencies that were involved in the response to carry out their own reviews. Council calls on the relevant directorates to begin work immediately on an accessible recovery plan which puts the needs of those impacted the most at its core. Council should immediately write to the relevant government departments as well as central government to assess what financial support can be made available to support homeowners and businesses that have been affected. So, speaking to the motion, as the Chair referenced already, this is the time when parties should and will be coming together, working in partnership to support our communities in the wake of the nightmare that has unfolded over the past week across our district. We are heartened that we have all come together to discuss this motion this evening, to give this situation the attention it deserves, but more importantly, to start the process of finding answers for people and getting the practical support out to families and businesses who have borne the brunt of this. From the outset, Sinn Féin would like to place on record our thanks to the council workers, the emergency services, community groups and all those who have assisted since this crisis began to unfold last week. We also want to commend the community spirit and solidarity which has underpinned the response to date. As people watch their homes and businesses go underwater, I myself witnessed firsthand how people pull together to support each other. As the days go on, the extent of the devastation becomes clearer and clearer, and people will rightly demand answers. With an event of this magnitude, it is only right that we see a review commenced urgently. The public deserves transparency and, in many cases, much-needed answers from the range of agencies who have been involved as these events unfolded. In the immediate aftermath, there are questions that need to be addressed quite quickly. So, for example, were flood alleviation measures at Clanmuck Lake activated? If not, why not? In future, how do we get sandbags to people's hands before their homes are flooded and not just when it's too late? The issue of clearing gullies in the morns, some of our elected reps have been told that they haven't been cleared in over a year. How did this impact on the potential for flooding? In Newcastle, there was major investment in the flood alleviation scheme, yet family homes have been devastated by flooding. What are the next steps here? In Downpatrick, the effect of this flooding has been catastrophic. We need to know, was every single preventative measure enacted to try and stop this happening? We had heavy rainfall from the previous week. Were the coil floodgates operating properly? Could the coil have been dredged as water levels were as high as anyone can ever remember in living memory? Could businesses have been given more warning to try and save stock? These are the questions that I'm hearing, like, firsthand. People are particularly anxious around these issues as we face into the winter and the potential damage that further spells of heavy rain could bring. We need to look at how agencies work together, if they work together, their communication, and were the resources available? Could the impact have been mitigated in any way? These are the questions that need to be answered in the time ahead. Those who have borne the brunt of this devastation must have their voices heard as part of any review. Affected homeowners, businesses, community groups and others must be listened to, and we will work hard with others across this chamber to make sure that that happens. Across the district, we find ourselves in a situation where people have had their homes destroyed, business devastated and jobs lost. Many people we have spoken to have described how futile the situation feels. Many were unable to insure their premises and homes against flooding, only adding to the pain that is felt in the aftermath. I think it's also worth making the point on the issue of mental health. We need to be ensuring that proper services are available to support people who have been affected by these events. There are people who have been genuinely traumatised and continue to go through trauma as it rolls out by what has happened to them, and we must not forget about them. Many workers are anxious tonight, wondering how they will pay their mortgages with no jobs to go to, and as of yet, no adequate sign of support from the British government. Unless you run a business or you're part of a family business, it's really difficult to comprehend what goes on behind the scenes. It's not a 9-to-5, pulling the shutter up in the morning and putting it down in the evening. The sleepless nights, the level of admin, the HR responsibilities. It's not just the financial investment you make, but a personal and family investment. It's all consuming, and this is the impact that it's going to have. It's people's lives. Today, we welcome First Minister-elect Michelle O'Neill on her visit to Downpatrick to see the impact. We witnessed livelihoods destroyed, jobs lost in the heart of the trade, and Downpatrick gutted. Despite the situation in which these people find themselves in, I am inspired by the resilience and the determination showed by people. I am convinced that with proper and adequate funding packages, these businesses will be able to bounce back, but that support needs to be made available urgently. Chris Heaton-Harris needs to come down into our district and see firsthand the devastation that has been caused by these floods. We need those who hold the purse strings to look at the big picture and what could possibly be lost if something significant is not done now. That is where our focus as elected representatives needs to be now. We must work together in genuine partnership to deliver the support that's needed to families who have lost homes and to people who have lost their businesses. Let that message come out of this council meeting tonight. Gordon Miller, my other.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Can you advise us who's going to second your motion, please?
Yeah, it's going to be seconded. Councillor Murray. Councillor McMurray from the Alliance.
Thank you, Chair. Do you wish to speak to the motion, Councillor McMurray?
Sorry, yeah. Chair, I'm happy to sign this motion as we, as a council, need to ascertain certain points, namely understanding what happened and why areas flooded as they did, addressing the financial cost which will be felt by both businesses and residents alike, making sure it doesn't happen again. I appreciate that not all of these can be realised at tonight's sitting, and the answer to these questions will largely lie outside this council, but this motion must put into place avenues and forums by which the areas mentioned can be addressed. Chair, I'll be brief, as I'm very conscious that many others want to get in and comment, and I also want to afford time to councillors who directly represent the DAAs and towns involved. However, I do want to put on record my thanks to council officers and workers who are involved in both the response and cleanup with the floods. Naming them all will probably take too long, and other councillors will come in, I'm sure. But however, that I had direct dealings with Marie Ward, Jocelyn Kelly, Andrew Castles and Sarah Taggart, consistently convened and facilitated meetings which kept parties informed of what was happening while also allowing us to relay issues that were arising in affected areas. Thank you to you all and all your staff. In this regard also, a service of gratitude is also required to the statutory agents involved in response to the flooding, DFI Rivers Agency, Road Section, NI Fire and Rescue Service, NI Water, PARNI, the PSNI, other councils both in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland who came to our assistance, voluntary sectors such as the Iron Lion, Morning Mountain Rescue Team, and many of the individuals who took it upon themselves to aid others. Thank you. You're a testament to the selflessness and resilience of the communities we live in and represent. Chair, ultimately this will require a financial package that is outside the scope of this council in order to re-establish the traders affected by this flood. It is imperative that both Stormont and Westmount have put their financial package together, which will help those who have contributed to the financial well-being of this district for so long. It is, however, disappointing that such a financially and personally devastating event to afflict NI seems to have passed the Secretary of State from Northern Ireland by. I've yet to hear of any formal correspondence from him on this matter. Well, I do note the Secretary of State, Henry Benn, has made correspondence on our behalf. Thank you, Mr. Benn. To conclude, Chair, it must also be noted that given the climate crisis we are in, these events will become more prevalent. Hotter summers will be followed by milder winters. The weather logic and workings out of this will be more rain as well as heavier bouts of rain. We must do all we can not only to mitigate against future flooding events, but also make ourselves as sustainable as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Devlin. Thank you, Chair. Firstly, a huge thanks to all of those who over the last number of days have stepped up and stood shoulder to shoulder with the residents and businesses who've been so badly affected by this devastation. Be that Newry, Newcastle, Downpatrick, Kilkee, the list for our district unfortunately goes on. Community and voluntary groups, individuals, the goodwill of our people absolutely shone through and was appreciated by all. In many ways, events such as this brings out the best in us. I think this is a sentiment we must all keep in mind. The level of water was unprecedented, but questions do remain. How? How did the Newry Canal burst its banks? How did the Burn River get to such a high level? And how did the Coyle overspill so rapidly? These are genuine questions that must be answered in the time ahead. But right now, our absolute focus has to be on supporting our people and assisting these businesses to reopen. These businesses support their own families, they employ staff in the local area, and they're the backbone of our local economy. They do not have reserves, the large multinationals do. Here we are, 7 weeks from Christmas, with absolutely no certainty on the future of these livelihoods. Without direct support from central government, these businesses will most likely not reopen. We have no local executive, and so that support has to come directly from the British government. In the absence of an executive, it is their responsibility. So in conclusion, Chair, in terms of Newcastle, going forward, we must be prioritising those homes that have been flooded in the past. What measures can we take to prevent such reoccurrences? We have many, many tasks in the days, weeks ahead, but together we as a council, politics aside, will work together to do all we can within our power. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devon. Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this has been an extremely challenging week. I'm conscious that there are many staff still on the ground, people experiencing the aftermath of flooding, devastation to both their homes and businesses. I say to them, we are with you, we hear you, and we will do whatever it takes to help. I wish to first commend council staff, emergency services, government agencies, along with members of the public who came forward to offer assistance, farmers with pumping equipment who were on the ground in Newcastle and Newry, the immense operation that took place to clear Downpatrick, involving a multi-agency approach. I thank and commend all those who went above and beyond this last week, and aid of those who have been immensely affected across our district. I'd like to also take this opportunity to publicly thank our Chief Executive, Marie Ward, recognising Josephine and Andrew and their team for their commitment and continuous updates throughout this past week. Notable issues stretched from Kilkeel, Newry, to Newcastle and Downpatrick, with various incidents in Kilkeel, the harbour, along with the sinking and damage of family-owned fishing vessels, accumulating in hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of damage. There was a major subsidence on the main A2 Newcastle Road, which caused untold disruption across the area. Flooding in Newcastle, which impacted the residents of Elm Grove and Marguerite Parks, Newcastle. The devastation in Downpatrick is heartbreaking for the businesses concerned. We are happy to join with other parties in supporting this motion. All political representatives from all parties were on the ground, united in help and assistance. The message tonight from this council should be one of unity. We as councillors stand shoulder to shoulder with those affected and are prepared to do whatever it takes to see businesses back on their feet, open and trading once more. The Amford South MLA has been working with the DUP leader to request UK government financial support in response to the flooding. Our party leader, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, an MP, has spoken to the Secretary of State and the Northern Ireland Office about the flooding situation, and they have undertaken to engage with the relevant Northern Ireland departments. These departments are already under severe budgetary pressure, and we welcome any support available from the UK government, and we are continually asking for that. There is a clear need to ensure the capacity is there, both to respond adequately to the current flooding situation and to access the contingency funding required to support the recovery of those areas badly affected by flood damage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, what we witnessed in Downpatrick over the last week, no words can describe. For some of us in this chamber, we call this home. And know the business owners who have seen their businesses literally washed away. You have seen through the media what Downpatrick face, but to truly feel the impact, you needed to see it firsthand. Some businesses saw 6 foot of water, others battling with the water to protect their livelihoods, but sadly over 50 businesses have been impacted. When businesses started to get access, the devastation was overwhelming. Downpatrick is built on small traders, and many of them have been impacted. The support by fellow traders, tradesmen and the community has been outstanding, and every business is so thankful for the support and kindness. But we now need a financial package to save these businesses and the jobs they provide for local residents. The package cannot be a gesture, it needs to be significant. Businesses are facing long closure, with many structural works to be undertaken, wages to be paid, bills and rent, and even many facing hundreds of thousands to restore what their business was like before. Downpatrick is determined to return even stronger than what it was before, but we need the support now. Chair, I would like to request that all councillors in this chamber sign a letter to the Secretary of State calling for the assistance now. This is not the time for politics. It's a time for the Chamber to unite for all our local businesses. I would also request the council calls for an independent review of this serious incident. The review needs to be independent, with all agencies feeding into it. This review should include what additional flood alleviation schemes can be installed in Downpatrick to prevent such a serious flooding happening again. As a council, we need to support our businesses through the creations of a pop-up space that my colleague, Councillor Cabret, had proposed and sent in to our officers, and an ideal location as such at the back of the police station in Downpatrick, which will enable those businesses who are struggling to identify an alternative unit, a space to trade coming up to Christmas. And I'd ask that we also write to the Department for Communities to enable us to establish such a pop-up for its use and for it to be immediately implemented. We as a council also need to create events and promotional programmes to get shoppers back into Downpatrick and across our district to help the recovery. Chair, as many has said and been on the ground throughout this week, I have to really emphasise our true thanks to our council staff. There is many of them who were told to go home, but they stay for many hours after. There is a gentleman one night, he was meant to leave at 6, I think he left at 9:30. I'm not going to name names, but there's ones that have been there every single day. And it's not because they want to do their job, they want to help the town they live in. And the support from our senior management particularly as well, no matter what time you rang at, and I do apologise to Josephine particularly for ringing her very late, but there was no issue too small. To DFI, to NIE, to Rivers, you know, they've been on the ground and the actual business owners appreciate us. At times, as a councillor, I felt powerless because the water was coming and there's nothing I could do. But you were there as a point of information, able to coordinate and support the business as much as you can. So, Chair, I'll just recover. I had asked that all councillors in the chamber and even at home, that we sign a letter to the Secretary of State together, requesting for the assistance now, that we ask for an independent review onto the serious flooding incident, and that the council themselves write to DSC for the establishment of a pop-up within the PSNI former police station in Downpatrick. Thank you.
Councillor Hanlon, will you accept Councillor Sharman's proposal as an amendment to your motion?
Yeah, I'll top enough of that.
Thank you. Councillor Finn?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It has been an incredibly difficult few days for everybody in the Newry area, particularly where I represent, who has been impacted by the flooding. Families have seen significant damage caused to their homes and possessions, and business owners have seen decades of hard work and sacrifices washed away by the floods. Not only this, but sports teams, voluntary organisations and charities have also been impacted, with some facilities that serve our communities facing closure for months. Alongside this sadness, there is a palpable sense of anger across Newry at the lack of support available to victims of this flooding. The response has been far too slow, and people feel let down by the lack of political help offered, with stormy paralysed and ministers absent to take decisions. It's clear that the Secretary of State cannot continue to pass the buck on this issue and needs to work with the civil service to ensure that funding is available to help those worst impacted by these floods. Having spoken to business owners who were devastated, it's clear that urgent financial support is required, not least by those who are worried for their staff, with 7 weeks out from Christmas, who are facing an anxious wait in relation to their employment. Therefore, I believe that a furlough-type scheme must be requested in the letter that this council shares with the Secretary of State. This is not the first time that Newry has been impacted by flooding, with one local business that I've been in contact with in Greenbank having been flooded only 7 years previous. We need to ensure that any reviews of how this event happened across our district are clearly communicated so that public trust is restored in communications. And along with this, long-term measures must be put in place to ensure it never happens again. I'd like to finish by thanking all of the incredible staff, and I think that's something that everybody in this chamber could agree on. We are absolutely blessed with people who work tirelessly for the community that they love. And I'd like to commend the fantastic community spirit shown by every single person in Newry who's done everything possible to help each other at what is an incredibly difficult time for a city that we love. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor Mathers.
Thanks, Chair. Speaking in relation to the damage and devastation facing homes and businesses, I want to agree with what has been said here and mention a few further points in relation to Newry. On the ground, our business community were asking where the senior council officials were. In the absence of council officials being on the ground and providing support, I want to commend people like Eamon Connolly from Newry Bid, who were there in the thick of it, offering practical help and support to those who needed it. Most of the damage caused by the flooding was commercial and local businesses, which have been decimated. A lot of these businesses are family run, and as well as that, a lot of food outlets who can't relocate due to the logistics and nature of their operations. Businesses need answers as to how this happened, and more importantly, what steps have been taken to prevent future occurrences. It wasn't just the town centres were affected. A focus needs placed on Flurry Bridge and the Prize Park, which was also devastated by flood damage. Council needs to step up here and take the lead in the recovery of our district and to ensure the proper support mechanisms are put in place. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor McGuinness.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, in relation to Camlach, which is a more rural area that was badly hit with flooding, we have seen the devastation at first hand, and it's homes that have been destroyed in this instance. We asked that, obviously a lot of businesses have been affected and they all need a massive amount of financial help, but we can't forget people's homes who have been absolutely destroyed in this flooding. In Camlach itself, the questions have to be asked and questions have to be answered in the aftermath of this. And myself and Councillor Murphy are in constant contact with residents of the worst affected areas. Was one row of houses with a river flowing behind it. Now, questions have to be answered from DFI as to why that river has not been cleaned on a more regular basis and why the gullies at the front of the main road haven't been cleaned on a more regular basis. We also have to ascertain if the lake could have been lowered to its lowest capacity to cope with the water, because at the end of the day, the water comes from the lake that flows in the river that goes as far as Newry. So we need to those questions answered from DFI. But at the minute, we are focusing on helping the residents who have been affected. We will be meeting them tomorrow night to see how much more we can do for them in terms of trying to get financial assistance for them. We had a lot of difficulty in rural South Armagh getting sandbags. Thanks to Camlach Community Association and local residents, we had to purchase sandbags off a local builder. That shouldn't be the case. There should be sandbags available for everyone, especially in these incidents. Really, we need as much help as we can. I can't fault the council, I can't fault the environmental health officers and the waste management team that have been on the ground with the people in the aftermath of this flooding. And we hope to continue, that they will continue to provide support where necessary. When I say these homes have been destroyed, it's going to take a long time for them to come back to normal. So thanks very much to the council team and everyone who helped on the ground. But we now need to see where we went wrong and how we can improve it and make sure this doesn't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to thank the group leaders for all their wise words and everyone who's spoken so far. I just want to say a few words on the affected Newcastle residents. I was glad to hear Councillor Hanlon recognise the trauma and the PTSD that many people will go through. So I just want to give a short selection of the residents' trauma that I found in Newcastle. I found a couple in their 80s whose bottom floor was slowly filling with water. The lady had dementia and there was absolutely nobody to help them. An 8-year-old boy who was 5 in the first flood, who doesn't sleep every time it rains and has crawled into his parents' bed every night since last Monday. A lady in her 70s who was taken out of her house in a boat in the last flood and when returned to her home has not left the house in 3 years. A resident who was flooded before, like many, many others, and has completely renovated his house because he now thought that they were safe due to the flood alleviation works, drove to Carrickduff and spent £110 in sandbags, as the advice from Floodline was, source your own. People are angry and very frustrated. Many Newcastle residents are either now not able to purchase insurance or pay hefty premiums. £2,000 quote on a standard three-bedroom bungalow. They're also probably not able to ever remortgage or sell their property. The DFI answer at surface water at the previous meeting does not cut it, as every street would have flooded. The DFI flood risk assessment states the highest flood level is approximately plus 5 metres. The flood defence embankment for the Burn River is plus 7. I observed the water perilously close to the top of the burn bank, which means it was way above the predicted flood level. Flooding happened in very specific residential areas in Newcastle, but there are two critical questions to answer. Was the river so high at the burn because it was affected by the Shimna flood alleviation works? And question two, where was the breach and why did it appear that no agency was looking for it? And at that point, I just want to reiterate again, I've already said it, the work that Caelan Boyd was doing on the ground was absolutely commendable. And I was really glad to see that by Saturday, when he was in Downpatrick, somebody had managed to get him a decent coat and a decent pair of boots. So I suggested Islands Park, the entrance to Islands Park, as a store for sandbags. I had people ringing me up begging for sandbags, and I didn't know how to get hold of sandbags. The possibility of a sandbag store with a radar key or individual codes for Warren councillors to be able to access these as quickly as possible. And the last important point that I hope all parties will be able to get behind to push for. There's currently no flood forecasting and warning system in Northern Ireland. In England, Scotland and Wales, they have flood forecasting systems. Severe flood alerts can be issued via the government's new emergency mobile phone alarm system. And in the Republic, Meteoran is due to take over flood forecasting from the Office of Public Works and will be deploying more advanced systems. Northern Ireland needs a forecasting and warning system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Taylor.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I suppose I want to begin by offering, you know, certainly my personal thanks to all those staff within the statutory agencies, the emergency services and our own council for the work that they undertook over the past week. There's no doubt that they worked around the clock to respond to the flooding incidents that we're all seeing at first hand. And indeed, I think thanks should be offered to members of the local community who stepped up to offer their services voluntarily. Like I know in my own instance, I had local agricultural contractors offering their services and their equipment to try and assist with the rescue effort that was taking place as the crisis unfolded. And indeed, you know, their support was vital at a time when resources were stretched to the limit. I suppose the scenes, you know, that we witnessed in recent days were unprecedented for many of us within our lifetimes. And even speaking to older members of the community, some of them, you know, struggle to remember such severity, and particularly in the Newry area, where, you know, what we're in South Armagh area, where I represent, and the damage that has been caused to businesses and indeed homes in many instances has been devastating. And could in many cases take months to repair, and some, you know, businesses will are really, you know, at a point where they're, you know, they're fighting for survival, I suppose, as a consequence of what happened here. So the loss of income to those businesses, particularly at a time of year whenever, you know, businesses are trying to take the maximum opportunity of Christmas ahead, and financial burden that's placed on all those affected by this, you know, it needs to be addressed as a priority matter by the relevant government departments. And the Secretary of State, you know, I've corresponded with him myself to call for the UK government to provide financial support to all those affected by the flooding crisis within our district. And that must be with outside the block grant that's already provided to Northern Ireland, because budgetary constraints are already in place and we don't need that pressure further added. We need new money from the government to provide that support. There's also, you know, a need for a review to take place, and this motion, obviously, you know, that's in front of us here tonight deals with that. But that review also must be complex. It must be, you know, transparent for everybody to see how we can learn lessons from what happened here and how responses can be improved, how communication can be improved. We've all had difficulties, I suppose, in terms of, you know, whenever we were receiving calls from businesses about the need for sandbags and where to locate those sandbags. Even I have to say, I was very frustrated with the flooding incident helpline, even the length of time it took even to report the case, and the amount of detail that was provided, and over, and I've been asked the same question over and over again, so even that needs looked at. But that's a wider issue that we need to learn from as a result of what happened here, because we can't repeat the same mistakes time and time again, particularly if something like this, there's a risk that this could happen more often. The review that takes place, we'll have to look at obviously the flood defence measures that are in place, or on those roads that were affected, where homes were affected, is the drainage adequate? That all requires investment, and so wider, bigger issues across the department, build strategy that's required to deal with any potential worsening flooding that we have seen over recent days. And I just want to say as well, obviously the businesses that have been affected in the homes, there's also other voluntary and community organisations that were affected by this. You know, even in Uri as an example, a local church and other community groups, their properties have been badly damaged as a result of what happened too. And they're working off limited resource, and they also need support no matter what happens as part of any overall package. I suppose one thing I would say as well, I'm obviously not on the group forum, group leaders forum, but I would ask, as part of the, motion that's been provided, that the likes of myself as an Ulster Unionist representative, and indeed the Independents, are also given the opportunity to sign that letter. So we see that it is an entire council approach. So it's not just obviously the parties that sit on the forum, that we all support the call for the government to step up to the mark in this regard, because listen, I've spoken to some of the, spoken to people that their homes are badly damaged, and it's heartbreaking, young families affected by this, and spoke directly to the businesses that took the time to speak, to visit some of the businesses affected, and it's just heartbreaking to see, and the worries that they have about how they're going to survive and how they're going to cater for their staff. And, and that's one of the things actually that I found probably from it. It was their concern about their staff. It wasn't even their selves, about the people that they employed and the families that they had, how they were going to deal with in terms of coping with the financial support that they require, again, at a very crucial time of the year. So we all need to step up to the mark in terms of doing everything we can to make sure that an adequate package is provided to see them through this crisis. But as I would ask, as I said, the likes of myself and other independents on the council, we are given the opportunity to also sign that letter going forward to the Secretary of State. Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Councillor Taylor, Councillor Sharvin had asked in his amendment that all councillors.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor.
Thank
you. Councillor Clark. Good Chair. I suppose to echo the comments of all the councillors, I also would like to commend, the council workers and all the other statutory bodies. Even NI Water floodline, they were totally swamped with the amount of calls that was coming through to them. And I know that was frustrating for, a lot of residents, that they were so swamped. The information they were giving back with, in regards to sandbags, we haven't got any, we go to DFI. So there is lessons to be learned and improvements going forward. I'd also like to, thank the fire service lifeboat in Newcastle, the Mountain Rescue, and volunteers from Bricewood GAA, who assisted in giving sandbags out. Also the Harbour Regeneration Group as well. I suppose what I would say is, there was an amber warning for heavy rain for South Down. The head of services and a lot of organisations, I would ask, what inspections did take place, prior to the flooding coming to our district. You look at the pumping system in around the Bourne River, did it work appropriately? You would also ask, why did the flood defence of the Bourne River fail? Why did it fail the people? Massive investment to protect homes put in place along with the Schindler River alleviation scheme, which worked well, but it obviously can't work in isolation. All the areas that were flooded, were assured previously that they would be protected. We had Ballybay Park, Arkeel Park, Elm Grove, Marguerite, Beachfield, Eliza Close, Dunwell, and Bournview Court, and lots of other areas as well. In Newcastle, ended up with flood water approaching their doors, and
and unfortunately coming through their doors on a lot of cases. In regards to communities being isolated as well, you know, we look at the A2 road Kilkeel to Newcastle at the riverside, you know, the road falling in, you know, what measures will be put in place in regards to that? You know, that's the main artery in the Kilkeel to Newcastle, and obviously vice versa. You're manufacturing, you have the fishing industry, and but it's just generally the main commute way and heading to Belfast as well. So is there a temporary bridge going to be put in place? Is there going to be a Bailey bridge put in place until, you know, the various consultants look at the scheme and how they're going to, you know, repair the road? We can't wait, you know, for months and 6 months for the road to be replaced. We need that provision put in place as soon as possible to allow people to go about their daily lives. I suppose, and you hear it all the time, and I see it on the ground as well, the drains are not being cleared. They aren't being cleaned, and hotspots, flooding hotspots. And despite pressure from elected reps or whatever else, that doesn't just happen. You know, there's been drains in housing estates that haven't cleaned 5 years, you know. On the back of an amber warning, you know, they still weren't clean, you know, and there can be all the excuses of the day, the cars are sitting over the top of them or whatever. You know, if this is a flooding emergency that you've been warned about, then all the statutory bodies should be out on the ground to ensure that they're doing everything they possibly can to help the situation and alleviate the problem of flooding. As I said, lessons need to be learned by all organisations moving forward. But what I would say is that one of the main causes is this flooding is directly linked to Tory cutbacks. For 10 years, over 10 years, we've had Tory cutbacks on public services. This is the outworkings of that. You just can't continually cut something and expect to have a better service. So I agree with writing the letter as Gareth's proposing. Long term, then, takes on to long term, climate change will continue to cause severe flooding throughout the world. Including our district, and we do have to plan ahead. We need to look at soft engineered approaches, solutions upstream, and this needs to be part of our overview as well. And when we're looking at preventative measures that can help slow the speed of the water going into our towns and villages, I think that is a very vital piece of work. And finishing, Chair, I would like to thank the Sinn Féin volunteers right on the ground, particularly, I can speak from right across the district, but particularly in my own town, who, you know, volunteered night and day to source sandbags. Sandbags weren't available. Source sandbags and then to deliver them through a metre of water to people's doors to help protect their properties, along with other community activists as well in the area. So, Chair, I'll leave it at that. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Many other councillors have thanked council staff who did tremendous work in Dunpatrick this last few days and coordinated by people like Caelan Boyd and Thomas Hayne, and they deserve great credit. But, Chairperson, I'd just like to talk about I represent council on the Drainage and Flooding Council in Northern Ireland. And the Drainage and Flooding Councils have responsibility for investing in flood alleviation schemes and also to manage big flooding events as they occur. The Drainage and Flooding Council manage rivers and cleaning of rivers, and about 3 years ago they got tremendous praise for the way in which they predicted and handled the serious flood events in County Derry. I must confess, in this particular series of events, I don't see the same level of prediction, of management, and of on-the-ground work to alleviate the flooding events. Chair, the Drainage and Flooding Council has funded two big Newcastle flood alleviation schemes since I've been on the council on behalf of Newry Moore and Down. They've funded a series of projects under the Newry flood alleviation schemes, which are still ongoing. My biggest concern, of course, is that even though for the last 25 years, the coil barrier has not been recognised as fit for purpose. It's not letting out enough water between high tides. It hasn't made the list of priorities, and I think we need to press for that to be addressed. In addition to the issue over the narrow arches over the Belfast Road Bridge, which continually have water backing up, and in particular during this last flood. Chair, I think it would be useful to invite the Drainage and Flooding Council and their senior management, who are supposed to be managing flood events in Northern Ireland, and explore the prediction of this event, the warnings around this particular event, how it was managed, and contrast and compare that with the way the event was managed in County Derry there 3 years ago. And it would be in particular useful to explore how further investment can be made in the major towns that we have. Where is the, how many more projects within the Newry alleviation scheme are going to be delivered? How are they going to address the issues that propped up in Newry over the last few days? Have they finished in Newcastle? Will there be more investment in Newcastle? What other areas need to be addressed? And in particular, I think we need to address the serious lack of investment in the coil. We need to address the replacement of the coil river barrier, which we've all known for at least two decades is not fit for purpose, and how we are going to address the Belfast Road Bridge, which creates a second barrier on the coil river. So, Chair, I'd like to suggest that we do think about inviting the Drainage and Flooding Council and their management to come along and discuss these issues with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to start, I'd just like to thank all of our council staff for their efforts and having talked to many businesses in Dunpatrick. It's been recognised that council's response has been well and above and beyond. Having been on the ground, you can clearly see this has been a devastation for the people of Dunpatrick and the economic heart of the town. I've witnessed the strength and character of the people in our county town and the power and resilience of our community. Our businesses have come together to innovate and adapt only highlights the strengths of the Dunpatrick community at this time. We must ensure that every available financial support and other resources are in place so that we can rebuild and come back stronger. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to concur with nearly what everybody said there about the officers, the staff of the council and all that have done a massive amount of work. And just, I have a few comments to make there just with my general area. And I'm getting word in here, and I've just informed Marie that there has been another landslide, so there has at Restrever. And I know the TFI have been working at the road, so they have. But I really hope nobody has heard it. So I'm only getting that there now. It's coming through to me just as I'm talking to you. And just to talk about my general DEA in general, we've had different problems to what Newry and Dunpatrick have had. And that Mourne is a fairly isolated community, and that we have only three ways into Mourne. There's Restrever Road, there's the Newcastle Road, and over the mountains. But Restrever was the first big incident, so it was when it slid, and it pretty much isolated the community of Killowen, so it did, and in that there was always a bad flood at the Barry Edmund. I feel for the people in Killowen because I know they were really up the walls about it, so they were trapped. Now, I know that road was cleared, so it was cleared unofficially, so it was, and possibly what's happened this evening, they will reinforce the caution that was used and that the road was never properly opened. So, and that, there's a work to be done there. That section of road, that one particular section that's been sliding different times, so that's up to the DFI, the forestry, and the area there to sort out. And coming back towards my own town, Kilkeel, I would just like to make it clear to you as well, one fisherman has completely lost his livelihood, one fishing boat has lost their livelihood and it sunk completely, so that there's two other boats very seriously damaged. There's between $500,000 and £1 million worth of damage done there, and that's just in Kilkeel Harbour, so it is. Throughout the country, there's been all sorts of flooding. The big issue was at Riverside, just in the Newcastle Road outside Kilkeel. The road has been damaged severely, so it has. I know Wally spoke about it, so he did. but hopefully something will be sorted this week there to open one lane of traffic so it will there to allow movement of heavy goods vehicles, if nothing else. They're trying to get up around the back roads at the moment. I know it on the head road, as we call it, just between Allalow and Abbey Call. Two buses got stuck the other day. There's another instance there of an accident down a bit further down the road, two large vehicles as well. So Moyne has different issues to what Downpatrick and that is, and the impact on the economy, it will be significant in the sense that they just can't change it through. And as you go on down the road there, where I live at in Ballymartin, if you go between Ballymartin and Allalow, it basically is, you're basically running along the cliff tops here. Down below the Orange Wall in Ballymartin, there's one real good dip. And actually, if you go over the wall, you're actually on the beach. And I did highlight it to the DFI officers that the drains at Moyne in particular, there's some of them hasn't drained in 10 years, so they have. And just along the main road there, that should never have flooded because there always was holes or through the wall there to let the water away. They weren't even clear, so it left there in places where there was 3-4 foot of water, which left Moyne, that part of the area, just completely impassable. And as you go down to Newcastle, part of my family lived down there, and they just lived beside Marguerite Park. I know what the feeling is with them, so it is down in Newcastle. And I very much sympathise with everything that's happened down there. And one other small issue that's happened through the countryside there, and possibly my part of the world, maybe it hasn't been as significant as others, there's so much runoff off the mountains, so there is, that the land is now completely and utterly waterlogged. And just a really simple thing. I would say the large part of all the country houses in my area have septic tanks. The septic tanks were actually overflowing. The people couldn't use the toilets in the houses because if they flushed the toilet at all, everything was just overflowing. And the farmers, to be quite honest with you now, they all stepped up to the mark. They came out with their slurry tankers and emptied as many septic tanks as possible. It's really a simple thing, but it's so important to so many, so it is, you wouldn't like that in your own house. But in saying all that, those are small issues that are compared to, as long as no one's lost their lives, money will replace a lot of it. And our party is working to do all we can to help businesses as anybody that has suffered. And I'm sure all parties have been doing this for them. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I must ask my official sympathy to particularly three of my constituents who have business interests and businesses in the severely affected parts of Uri. But having said that, the time for sympathy has now passed and it's now time for action. And I'm on that vein, I'm actually very shocked at the lack of empathy for those affected in both towns of Downpatrick and Uri and elsewhere from the Secretary of State. But maybe we shouldn't expect much more. I do, and that being again, welcome an independent review, which must be swift and effective. This can't go on for months, as these things normally do. It must be short and sharp and involve councillors and all involved agencies. The experts said, for example, that the defence barrier built in the Greenbank Estate would work. It didn't. It failed. I'm trying to say now it ameliorated, but it didn't. It has failed. I witnessed it myself. They also failed to identify the Clonroy River and canal risk. So we're in a state of limbo in terms of the advice that we are currently working upon. So I was also given information from DFI staff that their financial constraints prevented them at the early hours of the morning and releasing sandbags sooner to people as well with businesses. So that's why I'm fully supportive of a full investigation into this. But finally, back to the businesses again. At this moment of time, they're faced with no insurance. They have no businesses coming up to Christmas. They have no help out of what the council are doing in the mop-up. And at this moment in time, they've absolutely no hope. I think that must be the primary focus on us as councillors and as MLAs, MPs and the government in London and elsewhere to look after these people now before there's no town centres left for us. The few people are hanging on by the threads paying high rates, getting very little for it. So this is a time of deep reflection and solid action. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McIntyre. Councillor Kinlan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have any notes, so I'll just make a few comments as I think of them. I also am glad to hear that it's going to be an independent review, and I hope it's a very robust independent review, Chairperson, and will shine the light and ask awkward questions, intruding off our council, to see and identify the shortcomings and the problems that may have arose last week that could have been mitigated against. We're hearing all sorts of stories, certainly I am, coming out of the Newry end, where people, the term has been used, felt abandoned over the couple of days following the flood. Councillor Mallers has already touched on it, that senior council personnel were invisible on the ground. That was a perception in the days following the worst excesses of the flooding, and people felt they weren't getting the information in a timely manner. But it is important also to acknowledge the work that was done post the catastrophic situation in both Newry and Downpatrick. But we cannot lose sight of the focus that needs to be put on as to what council could have done, what other agencies could have done pre the damage that took place, pre the event happening. Who knew what and at what time? These are the questions that need to be asked. I heard one of the shop owners in Newry on this morning to say that he was contacted by a fellow business at 10 o'clock on Monday night, was the first word he had of that. But yet the agencies, one of the agencies had also been on the radio this morning saying that there was a multi-agency meetings have been going on through the day, and all interested parties were being kept abreast and kept aware of what was happening and what was likely to happen. So that's what I want to home in on, Chairperson. Who knew what and when they knew it? Because, I mean, like the livelihoods that have been absolutely destroyed there in both Newry and Downpatrick is simply breathtaking. And I know that we had previously got a sort of multi-agency flood resilience group within the council. I'm not even sure, Chairperson, if that still meets. I know formerly it used to meet on a quarterly basis. And that group, I'm led to believe, was there and was in place to identify and be able to head off the problems before they happened. So when this review happens, it should be robust, it should be transparent, and everybody that has anything to add to this review needs to be invited to make their contribution. And then on a more like localised level, Chairperson, in relation to the sandbag issue, and I was glad to hear Jonathan McKee confirm on Friday past that the localised sandbag depots will be looked at, and he actually would encourage such a process to be put in place. But that's a change of step, because in my own village of Forstever that has been prone to flooding over the years, despite the alleviation scheme that was put in St Jude's 10 years ago, these events come up at least once every 2 years, and we fought a battle to retain that sandbag store in Forstever, and my Crotleaf colleagues will attest to that, particularly the ones that sat in the last term and the term before that. And DFA Rivers Agency had committed to keeping a localised sandbag store in place, and the only thing to be agreed was to relocate it but retain it within the village, in recognition that these flooding issues were a recurring problem. And some stage over the COVID period, Chairperson, the container was moved and nobody was made aware of it, including our officers, because I went through this with the senior officers in the council, and they were not aware of this either. When our council officers then chased the issue up to get the sandbag store replaced, they were told that because following on the flood alleviation scheme in St Jude's 2013, it was no longer a hotspot and the sandbag store would not be put in place. Now, last Monday night, Chairperson, I became aware of another store of sandbags in the village, and I sprung into action myself along with other people at 9 o'clock when I seen that the relentless rainfall was not getting any easier. We were still 2.5 hours out from full tide, and there was trouble on the way. Now, we got access to sandbags owned by someone else. Those sandbags saved 20 houses and at least one business from being absolutely destroyed. So our village was hit as well, and these houses could have been washed out and in the same situation as those poor people in Port of Dermore as well in the houses. So I'm hoping that all this will come under the review. I hope it is a robust review, and it doesn't just become sort of box-ticking exercise where lessons are learned, but there's actually nothing done. If there's people here to be held to account, we need to make sure that we're going to follow through on that. So that's all I have to say on the matter, Chairperson. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. Councillor Helen, if we can ask you to sum up, please.
Thanks, Chair. Look, I don't have anything else to add to what has already been debated here or mentioned here in the council tonight. I just reiterate that it is so important that we all come together, and I think that is the message. I've just got news through there that all the party leaders of the main parties have also signed, come together to sign a letter to go to the Secretary of State as well, and that is the right thing to do. This is not a time for party politics. This is a time for us to come together and ensure that these residents and businesses are supported. And the message must be that we need money now. So thank you for everybody tonight supporting us.
That's the end of the special meeting. If we could have the proposer and second, maybe to take a 15-minute break before we actually start. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Hall.
After our next council meeting, just start at
6:30. Yes, the next part of the meeting will start at 6:30. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.